short sermon here this morning, a short sermon, I pray. I want to mention something personal that I thought in the past for myself. When I was a young boy, my mother passed away from cancer. I was only 7 years old at the time, and my mother had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer. It's a very difficult cancer to fight against, and she battled with it for 2 years. And one of her main concerns, which I was told, one of her main concerns was what was going to happen to her children. Of course, we had our dad or our father, but she was worried about our faith. She was worried about us getting to heaven. At the time that she passed away, there was myself, my older brother, and my sister. But why I bring this up is because of the significance of the day in which she passed away. My mother passed away on June 11, 1998, which was then the feast of Corpus Christi. What a blessing, what a joy it would be to leave this world on the feast of Corpus Christi. What a great feast where we celebrate and we acknowledge our Lord's true presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Blessed Eucharist. But the story doesn't end there. Growing up, I would oftentimes go to my grandmother and ask her for help and instructions when it came to the faith. My grandmother really helped me in learning the rosary and praying it well. My grandmother, which would have been my mother's mom, she had gotten sick a couple years ago. She was having heart failure and kidney failure. And this year, on May 11th, she passed away. When my grandmother passed away, I started offering the Gregorian Masses the day following. So on May 12th, I started the Gregorian Masses. What's a Gregorian Mass? A Gregorian Mass is where you offer Mass for one of the faithful departed for 30 days in a row. And those Masses have to be offered every day for that individual. For example, if a priest were to miss a day for being sick or something that had come up where he couldn't offer Mass for that individual, he would have to start all over again in the Gregorian Masses. I was told of a story once. There was a visiting priest coming into Omaha late in the evening, and he had not had Mass yet, but it was the 29th or the 30th day of the Gregorian Masses for an individual, so he was eager to have Mass. He did not want to miss one of those last days. But the reason why I bring up my grandmother is because I started offering the Gregorian Masses on May 12th, and unbeknownst to me, I did not realize that the day in which I finished the Gregorian Masses, the 30 days in a row, was June 11th, the same day that my mother passed away. So that certainly is a blessing, and I thank Almighty God for it. But when it comes to the Feast of Corpus Christi, my dear friends in Christ, there are some things that we have to understand. First off, we should understand a little bit about the history of the feast. Second, we should strengthen our faith. We should do our very best to understand that there's a particular reason why we celebrate this feast, and that is to strengthen our faith in our Lord's true presence and give him the honor and the glory that is his for being with us for all of these years. And then the last thing I'd like to mention is just some practical things that we can put in practice in our own life. Briefly, in regards to the history of this feast, the Mass that you pray today, the prayers, the special prayers like the Epistle and the Gospel, were written by St. Thomas Aquinas in the 1200s. There was a holy sister, Sister Juliana, who had a vision of a full moon. But in the full moon, there was a black spot. There was something missing in the full moon. And she understood that in the liturgical year at the time, all of the feasts throughout the year, there wasn't a feast in honor of our Lord's true presence. There wasn't a particular feast just in his honor. And there wasn't a Corpus Christi at the time. She understood that that's what God wanted. God wanted to have a particular feast where we acknowledge his true presence. She talked to her bishop and eventually to Pope Urban IV, who instituted the Feast of Corpus Christi. So the feast we celebrate today is almost 800 years old. And when it comes to the feast, we, as I said, acknowledge and profess our Lord's true presence. That's why after Mass, we're going to have a procession. After Mass, our Lord is going to be on the altar of the monstrance, and we're going to process out of church and go outside to the altar that we have set up. And then there you'll receive benediction from our Lord. We'll process back into church and you'll receive benediction again. It is our public profession of our Lord's true presence. But we have to strengthen our faith, my dear friends in Christ. What can we do to strengthen our faith and our Lord's true presence? First, pray and ask for it. Ask our divine Lord for an increase in faith. Dear Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Make it a point to study Scripture and look at what our Lord has taught us. In the Old Testament, manna from heaven, this bread. That was a foretelling of the future of our Lord giving us his true body, blood, soul, divinity, and Holy Communion. There are other scripture passages from the Old Testament, but when we go to the New Testament, we see our Lord at the Last Supper. He took bread in his hands and he blessed it. And he said, "For this is my body." And then he took the chalice. He said, "This is the chalice of my blood." Our Lord didn't say, "This is like my body," or "represents my body." No, our Lord said, "This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood." Our faith, the foundation of our faith, is in the words of our Lord, is what he has told us. There's another occasion where our Lord multiplied the bread and the fish. He was teaching and healing, and he was with the people all day long for a great multitude of 5,000 people. At the end of the day, the apostles came to our Lord and said, "You know, we have to do something with the people. It's getting to be late. They need to stay somewhere. They need something to eat." And our Lord multiplied the fish and the bread. And after all of the multitude was fed, thousands of people, they understood our Lord had worked a miracle. They seen it for themselves. After our Lord worked the miracle of multiplying the bread and the fish, our Lord told the people, this was an opportunity to teach them, that he was going to give them a bread that when they ate that, they would live forever. And our Lord told them that which he was going to give them to eat was his flesh, and that which to drink was his blood. When the Jews heard this, the Jews heard our Lord saying, "We're going to eat your flesh and drink your blood? How is that even possible? I mean, this is a hard saying, this is hard to take." What did our Lord say? He said, "Amen, amen, I say to thee, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you." The Jews knew exactly what our Lord was saying. And a good number of them left their Lord and walked no longer with him. They said, "How can this be?" How did our Lord respond? Did our Lord tell them, "Hey, no, you misunderstood. Come back. You don't understand what I'm saying." No, our Lord didn't say that. He let them go because they knew exactly what he was saying. Our faith is founded on what our Lord has revealed to us, what he has taught to us. Pray for an increase in faith. Make acts of faith whenever you're in doubt, and oftentimes during the day. In our catechism, we learn the act of faith, hope, and charity. Pray the act of faith and ask our Lord for that increase. Because when we have an increase in faith, we see our Lord more clearly in the Blessed Eucharist. But we also see our Lord in our neighbor as well, and what we do with them, how we treat them. The last thing I'd like to mention is the fact that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. A story that the bishop has told times before, he mentions that maybe it was Nebraska or Chicago, this was years ago, before the bishop's time, but there was a Corpus Christi procession, and when they were on procession with the Blessed Sacrament, a lady came out of her home, and she was dancing around on her lawn with a cookie. She was mocking our Lord in his true presence in the monstrance. And what ended up happening was, within the year that followed that particular lady got into an accident. She was trying to cross a train tracks, and she was hit by a train, and her arm was severed off. That same arm that she was mocking our Lord with, our Lord cut it off. Another story that I find a little interesting, I told the servers this yesterday, or some of them, was a story from India. I don't know the actual time frame of this particular story, but in India, there were Christians being persecuted by the Hindus. So the Hindus were persecuting the Christians. And as I said, God will not be mocked. What ended up happening was a herd, or a pack, I'm not sure what you call it, of elephants, came from a distant jungle or different area, hundreds of miles away. These elephants stormed into this particular village and destroyed the homes of the Hindus. They did not touch the homes of the Christians. They did not touch the homes of those who were not persecuting them. But these animals, they came and they destroyed the homes of those Hindus who had been persecuting the Christians. And after they destroyed their homes and their things, these elephants went back to where they came from right away, hundreds of miles. God will not be mocked. But so too for us. Let us understand what power is ours. We have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity on our altars. How often do we come to visit him? How eager are we to come to church to see our Lord, to receive him in Holy Communion? How much more eager should we be? If we have an opportunity of coming to more Masses during the week, if we can come to daily Mass, or at least even on Saturday or a couple times during the week, that's another opportunity we have to come to visit our Lord and to receive him in Holy Communion. out of your way to come and visit our Lord more. That will strengthen your faith, and you will realize, especially when you come to visit during the week, you will realize how few people visit our Lord and how much He is abandoned. I'm not saying particularly our church, but just all over the world in our tabernacles, how few people come to visit them. How eager we are when we go visit a family member or a friend. Right away when we get to their place, we want to go out, we want to greet them, we want to see how they're doing, you know, especially if maybe they're at work or haven't seen them for so long or for some time. We're eager to see them and visit them. How eager are we to come and be with our Lord? We have to pray and ask for an increase in faith. Because when our faith increases, then we start to see our Lord more in the blessed Eucharist. Our Lord is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. When you receive Holy Communion, make a good preparation. Receive our Lord devoutly and make a good thanksgiving. Do not allow your mind to wander. Don't allow your mind to wander. Pray and bring it back to our Lord's true presence. Let us thank our Lord for this wonderful gift of His true presence. He has not left us orphans. Our Lord has not abandoned us. He has remained with us, and He will remain with us to the end of time. Let us do our very